nights like this for a full tent of people here for one reason, to sing God's praises and to read God's word. I know there was a little bit of confusion last night about what this week's theme was. We were a bit confused as to whether the theme was women or swimming, which put me into a blind panic because I'm a little bit rubbish at both. I've only ever had one girlfriend and I only ever did my 25 metres, so women and swimming scared me to death. But when I saw tonight's message theme, I thought to myself, that's going to be easy. That's going to be easy. I've been married to her for the last 24 years. Then I discovered the message was about somebody completely different. It would have been a bit cringeworthy, wouldn't it, if I'd have stood up here for 40 minutes talking about my wife. I know what you're thinking. You can talk about what you want, but if you're gone for 40 minutes, we're walking out. I'm going to share some names with you, and there's a link between the names. And you can shout it out when you know, and I'm not looking for a winner or anything like that, but all these people have something in common. Nancy Reagan, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Melania Trump, First Ladies. They're all First Ladies. Tonight I'm not going to talk about America, I'm not going to talk about presidents, because right now that whole thing's just a little bit crazy. I've been coming to camp for 30 years, that's the most political statement I've ever made. Tonight I want to look at the First Lady. The First Lady. The very First Lady. The very first woman who ever existed. Tonight our character this evening is Eve. Those of you who have been coming to camp for a number of years will know that I'm not shy in getting into character. And I have on occasion even dressed as the character I've been talking about. You are so, so lucky. If those fig leaves had turned up from Amazon, this would have been a very different message. Tonight we're going to go way back in history. We're going to go way back in time to the very beginning of this book. Dropping in to the very first chapters in Genesis. We read about how God created everything we see. Everything we see around us, the darkness, the light, day and night, the land, the sea, the plants, the trees, the animals. And then God made mankind. God made mankind. He made a man from dust. He took dust and he created a man. That man was called Adam. And at each stage during the creation, after each day, God looked upon what he'd made each day, and God saw that it was good. It was good. And after 6 days, God had finished, and on the seventh day, he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He just took a time out to have a look at this amazing creation that he had made. This perfect world in all its completeness. And God looked on it and saw it all. And you know what he said? He said, it is very good. Very good. And so the creation of this world in which we live took place. And God took Adam and he placed him in a garden. He placed him in a garden. This was no ordinary garden. This was a paradise. Imagine the nicest garden you've ever seen. Nothing like mine. It was amazing. Amazing plants, amazing trees. It wasn't the kind of garden you get today when you buy a new build property. It wasn't a 6 foot square piece of grass. This was a paradise. It was a large, large area. and it was perfect. And God placed Adam in this garden, and he was basically given almost free will to do what he wanted. He was there to tend the garden. He was there to look after it and enjoy it. There were animals everywhere. Adam, the animals don't have any names. Go have some fun. Name the animals. Get creative. Adam went out and named the animals. Adam had the run of the place. A paradise for him to live in. God gave Adam one simple instruction. There was one thing that Adam couldn't do. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Throughout creation, God recognized that everything was good. But there was one thing that God noticed that he wanted to change. And that was the fact that Adam was on his own. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And God put Adam to sleep. This is almost, I guess you could say, the first record of anesthetics and surgery. Because God put Adam into a deep sleep. And while Adam was asleep, he opened up Adam's chest. He took a rib. And from the rib, he created a woman. He created a woman. A partner. A companion. A helper. A wife for Adam. We don't know how long Adam lived in the garden by himself. But I would have loved to have clocked his face when he woke from this deep sleep, thinking his ribs are a little bit sore, and suddenly discovered there was somebody else in that garden with him. Everything about God's creation was perfect. Adam would have been a very handsome man. And just like myself, he would have had the perfect physique. God's final piece in his creative jigsaw was Eve. She too was perfect. She was beautiful. I don't know if you've ever met a woman or a young lady for the first time, and your first reaction upon meeting them is to burst into poetry. This is what happened when Adam first clocked eyes on Eve. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You shall be called woman, for you have been taken out of me." He saw Eve for the very first time. This perfect woman, and majestic words just flowed from his mouth. I know exactly how Adam felt. It happened to me 30 years ago this week. I clocked eyes on a girl at camp and poetic verses just flowed out. "Emma, you are the sweetest rose of Osset. Daughter of Geoffrey, you have stolen my heart. Be mine for now and evermore. I do not want another, but please just stay as you are and don't become your mother." We'll just close in prayer. And so Adam and his perfect wife Eve, they live and exist in this amazing garden. And everything is just perfect. They tend to the plants, they walk and they enjoy the garden. And as they walk in the garden, they chat and they speak with God. Eve's life was perfect. She didn't have to follow Adam round like wives of today, picking up his dirty socks because he wasn't wearing any socks. And then, one perfect day, Adam and Eve were wandering through the Garden of Eden. And Eve wanders across to this tree that's situated in the middle of the garden. This very tree that God had warned Adam about. And Eve wanders over the tree and over to the tree, and she sees how good the fruit looks, how ripe it looks, and how fresh and how very tempting. And as she stands there, a serpent, a snake, appears. And this is no ordinary snake. This is Satan. This is Satan. Taking the form of a snake, Satan begins to speak to Eve. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not die, said the serpent. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God. You will be able to see good and evil. And Eve begins to doubt. She starts to question what God has said. And why God has said it. Satan has deceived her. And Eve reached up and she plucked the fruit from the tree. And in an act that would change everything, Eve took a bite from the fruit. She passed the fruit to Adam. Try this. And Adam took a bite. I don't know if it was in an instant or whether it took a few moments, but Adam and Eve began to feel very different. They were changed. And they were changed on the inside, changed in a way that made them realize that they were naked on the outside. An emotion they had never had before. They suddenly felt a sense of shame. One act of disobedience, ignoring and doubting what God had said. And that allowed sin into this perfect world. Adam and Eve's first reaction was to cover themselves. They wanted to hide from each other. But not only did they want to hide from each other by using leaves, they wanted to hide themselves from God. And so they hid in the trees, ashamed of what they had done and ashamed of what they had become. They had ruined what God had made. They had disobeyed God's one instruction. So they hid. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees. But the Lord God called to man, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? It wasn't like God didn't know. He knew that they were crouched down in the trees. He knew that they were ashamed that they were naked. He knew that they were ashamed of what they had done. He knew that they had allowed sin to enter into his perfect world. But God asked them the question anyway. Where are you? Adam, Eve, where are you? The question wasn't asked so that Adam and Eve would understand. This question was actually asked so that Adam and Eve would understand that they were lost because of their sin, because of that disobedience, because of what they have done, God and man had become separated. And so God called out to them, "Where are you?" Adam answers first, "We heard you, Lord, in the garden, and we were scared, and I was naked." "Who told you you were naked, Adam? Have you eaten from the tree that I just told you to leave alone?" God knew. He knew what they had done, because you know what? God sees everything. But God needed Adam to confess. Adam blames his perfect wife. "She did it. She took it. She gave it to me." "And what about you, Adam? What did you do?" "I ate it." And sin entered into the world. Eve responded, "It was the serpent. He made me do it." Sin had entered into the world. Eve was the perfect wife. She was living the perfect life. She was the original first lady. She was the first lady ever to live on earth. She was the first lady ever to be called a wife. She was the first dressmaker. She was the first mother. She was the first lady ever to be deceived by Satan. She was the first sinner. But do you know what? Eve was also the first woman, the first lady to hear the gospel message, the message of good news. Because as God was banishing Adam and Eve from the garden, he told them of one who would come. One who would come and destroy the serpent. One who would defeat Satan. God had a plan. The perfect creation had been ruined by an act of sin. Mankind had become separated from God. There was now a great gulf between the Creator and creation. And God, in his own perfect timing, would send along his Son into this world with one purpose: to sacrifice himself as the payment for all of our sins. Because of what Adam and Eve and her husband did, because they allowed this world, because they allowed sin into this world, each one of us is born full of sin. When we're tiny babies, we are born into this world with hearts full of sin. A sin that should make us, as we grow older, ashamed. A sin that can wreck our lives. I don't think I'd be wrong in saying that the Garden of Eden is possibly the closest thing we have ever had to heaven on earth. A perfect paradise that God made for Adam and his perfect wife. Do you know how exciting it is to know that God has made somewhere even better? Even better than the Garden of Eden. God's made a place that makes the Garden of Eden look like a little two up, two down. God has made a place that's got mansions. A place where those who ask for God's forgiveness will be able to stand in the presence of God, just like God did with Adam and Eve in the garden, in his presence. The story of Adam and Eve in my Bible is titled in chapter 3, The Fall of Man. The Fall of Man. And it makes for uncomfortable reading, doesn't it? I try to imagine what Adam and Eve must have been feeling when they realised what they'd done. As they crouched down in those trees, high in those trees, hiding from the God that had given them everything. That they'd ruined it all. The shame that they must have felt. And they heard God speaking to them. That is something that's going to happen this week to every single person in this tent. You are going to hear in this tent, perhaps tonight, God speaking. Perhaps in your tent, over where you're sleeping, you will hear God speaking to you through what's said in the quiet times. Perhaps as you read your Bible in your caravan, perhaps in conversation out on the field, God will be speaking to you. We can choose to hide. We can choose to ignore and pretend that it doesn't matter to us and that we didn't quite hear what God was saying. But God is asking you this week the exact same question that he asked Adam and Eve. Where are you? Where are you? Where do you sit when it comes to God? Where do you stand when it comes to the question, am I going to heaven? Where are you? Are you hiding? Do you think if you just keep really quiet and really still, the speaker will hurry up and be really quick and God might just pass by and I won't have to answer the question? Is there something you're ashamed of? Something that you think that is going to separate you from God? That thing that you think no one else knows about? That thing that perhaps you think makes you unlovable in God's eyes? I don't normally share the words of songs from the platform. But there's a song that came out about 2 years ago, and at home we've had it on almost constant repeat for the past 24 months. It's a song that describes how much God loves us. How much God loves us. And it uses a word to describe God's love to me. And I'll be honest, almost every time I hear it, it brings tears to my eyes. You know what the word is? Outrageous. Outrageous. God's love for me is absolutely outrageous. It's beyond belief. I cannot begin to understand why a God would love me. With all my faults and my failings, with all the sins in my life, the open sins and those secret sins. Why would God love me so much? To quote the words from the song, I stand in absolute wonder when I hear you call my name. I'm completely astonished that you wash away my sin. There's nothing I could do that could ever make you love me more. There's nothing I could do that would ever make you love me any less. How beautiful, how glorious, how outrageous is your love. Eve was the perfect wife. She had the perfect life, and through her, which is often referred to as the original sin, sin entered into this world. But God, with his outrageous love, sent his son to pay the debt for those sins. And so the question is, where are you? Where do you sit with God? Maybe you've been saved for a good number of years. That doesn't alter the question. That doesn't alter the challenge. Where are you? God's asking, where are you? Where are you on your Christian journey? Are you hiding from the things that you know that God wants you to do? Are you putting off being baptized about telling others about God's outrageous love. Where are you? Are you hiding? Is there something in your life that you're ashamed of? Something that's holding you back on your journey with God? Something that is making you hide amongst the trees? Rather than enjoying that relationship with God, how He planned it? As we close this evening, as a God who has an outrageous love for us, is in this tent, He's asking you tonight, where are you? Shall we pray? Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that He came to give Himself as a sacrifice, to pay that debt of sin that we mankind owe. A sin that was brought into this perfect world. And so in order to get rid of the sin that stained your perfect creation, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, whom you loved before even creation, your perfect Son, and made Him a sacrifice for us. And so tonight, the challenge is this. As God speaks to every single one of us, with the same words He used in that garden, God is asking the question, where are you?